realfaith.org.au.
Yeah, I just remember there was one time when I was, you know, pretty heavy into this lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, and I came home from a big party bender, and Dad brought up the courage to sit me down and have a chat, and he said, "Oh, you know, I know what's going on, and, you know, I just want to let you know that there's a better way and that you don't have to live this lifestyle anymore. So you let me know when you need some help."
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, recently on the program, Helen Marsh shared her story, which basically was about how when she was only 14 years old, she gave up her baby for adoption and then was reunited with her daughter 29 years later. Then we heard from her son, Jeff Marsh, who shared how his life kind of spiraled out of control due to heavy drinking, and he reached his lowest point when he was separated from his son, Daniel. But later he gave his life to the Lord and became the founder of Elijah Care, a community in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne that focuses on restoring hope, value, and purpose in broken people's lives. Today, we have his son, Daniel, who has a story all his own. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Really happy to be here.
So this is the third generation. We had your grandmother telling her story, then your dad, and now you, three generations of Marshes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And you heard all of the stories.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Heard Nan's and Dad's stories.
And of course, your grandmother wrote about her story in the book called Up Out of Egypt, which mentions also your dad.
Yeah, yep.
Have you read this book?
I have.
That is the correct answer. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble with your grandmother. So, were you learning a bit when you were hearing these interviews?
Oh, definitely. You know, I've heard Dad share his story quite a few times now, and I learn something new every time he shares.
And your dad shared that when you were growing up, he had visitation rights to you every other weekend. Is that right? Because your parents were separated?
Yeah, that's right. Dad would be able to see me every second weekend and every now and again during the week also.
So that was your childhood, kind of being split between two parents?
Yeah. All the way up until I was probably 18, 19, you know, when I became an adult. Yeah.
So what was that like?
Yeah, it's very challenging because, you know, every time Dad and I would spend precious time together, he would take me quite often to swimming pools or the gym, and we'd sort of muck around there. And it was very hard every time I had to say goodbye to Dad, and we both usually cried. And yeah, it hurt a lot every time we parted ways.
And then also there was a contrast between your dad, who was full on as a Christian and getting deeper in his faith, and then what was your home life like?
Yeah, it was different. So the contrast, I could see the contrast between the two families. I'd go to Dad's and we'd go to church every Sunday and go to Sunday school. And I saw the differences in the values, I guess, of the two households that I sort of went to and from.
So the basic difference was he was full on for the Lord, and your mother and stepfather were non-religious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they didn't have religion in their lives. Mm. Yeah, so I guess the values were different there.
That must have been a bit confusing. You know, for one parent, this is all very important, and for another, it's not.
Yeah, it was. And quite often, you know, I would share with Mum about church and things like that. And yeah, she sort of... We didn't really talk about it together.
So kind of a split life.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, and then how did your childhood go in general?
It went pretty well, Eric. You know, I was brought up, in two loving families. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I had my own struggles, though, with my self-worth through some incidents that happened. So I was struggling just with my identity. Mm-hmm. For a long time.
Which is ironic because your dad struggled with having a low self-worth as well. That was part of his challenge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Had you ever chatted with him about that, or just never came up?
Yeah, not back then. We've chatted about it in recent times.
We don't want to get ahead of the story, but yeah. So here you were kind of struggling with, ironically, the same kind of issue that your dad went through of just not feeling that he had a lot of worth.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, just I really wanted to be accepted, you know, and that was a struggle for me, just with acceptance.
And spiritually, where were you at this point in your life, going into your teen years?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, so I'd go to church and start going to youth group every second weekend, and I knew about Jesus, but I didn't draw close to him, and I sort of held my distance from wanting to know him more. And most of my friends at school, you know, were non-religious too, so there was that sort of double life, I guess.
Yeah, so you would be kind of tugged one way when you were with the church group, but tugged another way other times.
Yeah.
But you did have a spiritual experience at a youth camp?
Yeah, when I was in my early teens, just had a powerful moment with the Holy Spirit, and it's something I'll never forget. But unfortunately, from that sort of moment, I didn't draw near to the Lord either. What's the best way to put it? I still felt a bit rebellious against wanting to know him more.
Okay, so kind of like you dipped your toes in the water, but you didn't dive in.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and of course, this whole confusion of having this two different lives going on.
Yeah, and I think that was probably part of the big reason why I didn't sort of step in more, is because, you know, majority of my life, the people surrounded in my life were non-religious, and so again, I with my self-worth issues, I sort of felt as if I needed to act a certain way to people.
To be accepted?
To be accepted, yeah.
And so where did that yearning to be accepted, where did that lead you?
Yes, in sort of the middle of high school, I started hanging out with people that started experimenting with parties and alcohol, and then that soon got into sort of things like drugs after that.
So it accelerated pretty quick?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it wasn't long after I started going to parties that I started getting introduced to drugs.
So did you stop going to church the second weekends when you were with your dad?
I did, actually, yeah.
Wow, that must have broke his heart.
I thought it probably did. And I didn't realize at the time that it would have affected my family so much that I stopped. But got to a point where I thought I was too cool for church and that I had this lifestyle where it was conflicting with the values of church. Yeah, I just remember there was one time when I was, you know, pretty heavy into this lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, that I'd arrived home. I'd been living with my dad just for a short time, for about a year or two, when I was about 20, 21, and I came home from a big party bender, and Dad brought up the courage to sit me down and have a chat, and I didn't realise at the time that he knew about the drugs and things like that, but he, you know, he worked with people like myself, so he knew. And he sat me down out the front and he said, you know, I know what's going on, and, you know, I just want to let you know that there's a better way and that you don't have to live this lifestyle anymore. So you let me know, you know, when you need some help.
So he planted that seed.
Yeah, and at the time I was quite resistant to this, and I was a bit embarrassed that he knew deep down what was going on. But I thank him. I thank him for that courage that he could sit me down as a father and have that chat with me back then.
What was your relationship with your grandmother, Helen?
I loved Nan from day one, and just a beautiful lady that loved her family so much and loved her grandchildren and children. So Nan was a big support for me since I was very young. Since I remember, really.
Mm. What was your relationship when you were going through this rebellious period and the drugs and everything?
Yeah, it was an interesting one because I knew that Nan disapproved of my lifestyle, and I could see it in her face every time we met up. And I remember this this one moment when we were, ironically, at her son Brett's wedding, which was my dad's brother, who unfortunately took his own life. And I remember that the night before, I think I had an all-nighter out on the town and I didn't sleep before the wedding. And I got to the wedding and I was just in another world, you know, because I'd been on drugs and things like that. And my dress code and hygiene was way below, probably.
What normally somebody would have at a wedding. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I had that don't care aspect about the way I sort of presented. Hmm. And Nan came up to me and, she said, "Oh, are you looking after yourself?" And just that
She probably knew the answer, but she's asked it nonetheless.
And the look in her face of just disapproving of where things were headed for me. Mm.
And where were things headed for you? Where did this all lead?
It led to a young boy that was non-caring and disrespectful and just to a place of nothing, really.
Our guest today is Daniel Marsh, sharing his story. And as we've been hearing, his life sank deeper and deeper into the drugs and party lifestyle. This is quite ironic since his father, recent guest Jeff Marsh, is the founder of a ministry that helps people recover from drug addiction. That's called Elijah Care. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how Daniel's life turns around and how he is now helping people with his father. All that and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadavo, and our guest today is Daniel Marsh. He's the son of Jeff Marsh, who's the founder of Elijah Care, a ministry that helps people with addictions to recover or people with alcoholism. The ironic thing was, as we heard before the break, Daniel was beginning to have a drug problem of his own as he was sinking deeper and deeper into the party lifestyle. But now we're going to find out what happened next in his life.
I met my future wife-to-be, Alina, at a pub we were working at. Mm. And, it was a time of crisis in the sense that the lifestyle was completely out of control. But then meeting this girl that would end up being my wife.
So you marry, you go on your honeymoon, everything seemed to be looking better for you at that point?
Yeah, so we were together for quite a while, and we traveled overseas together. And we had some ups and down times, and we were still partying pretty hard throughout those years. And then we got married, and things had slowed down, and we'd become a little bit more responsible in life, and we saved up some money. We bought our own property.
So getting a little more mature in your older years?
I'd like to think so. Yeah. And
being responsible.
Yeah, being responsible and a little bit more reliable in life as well to others. And so we had this beautiful time where we got married, and my dad actually married us, which was
really right?
It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best moments of our lives, you know, especially having him up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went away to the Philippines for a beautiful honeymoon. And it was only a week or so after we got back that I found out I'd been trying to pursue a career in the police force for quite a while, and that got knocked back, you know, just through a reason. And so it was bittersweet, I guess. It should have been the most beautiful time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then to hear that news was a little bit sour, but it was about a week later after we got home. I got invited by some of the guys around Dad's organization, Elisha Care, to go to a church called Cafe Care in Clayton. And so I went along there.
Had you hung out with the guys from Elijah Care before this?
Yeah, I'd been hanging out with them for maybe a year or two. And from the moment I started to hang out with these guys, I just saw something different in their lifestyle, and I saw something different in the way that they wanted to do life, and it was really appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was here with them at Cafe Care, and my dad was up just sharing about, you know, Elisha Care and some of the people involved, some of the miracles that have been happening. And he looks over at me spontaneously and says, "Dan, would you like to come up here and share something?"
Now, had you shown any interest in spiritual things before that? I mean, how did he know?
Well, I hadn't shown anything.
Yeah.
I would say it was the Holy Spirit just sharing with him that it might have been time for something to happen. Mm. Something had to give here.
But he invited you up to speak publicly, not knowing what was going on inside of you. Were you tearing up? Was he seeing something?
He must have been, because I didn't hesitate at all and just,
wow,
yeah, pretty much ran up there, I guess.
Is that right? Well, yeah. What was going on in your heart at that point?
There was just a stirring, and it's really indescribable, actually.
Mm, yeah.
This stirring I had going on in my spirit.
Because he's taking a chance, because you could say, "No, there's nothing going on, Dad. What are you talking about?" Right? He could have. I mean,
I know.
It was a kind of a gamble on his part.
Yeah. So, and so I ran up there, yeah. Rick, and I just started. I started really tearing up straight away, and I started shaking and trembling, and I didn't even know what I was going to share about, but
really?
I just started talking.
You walked up there not knowing what you're going to say.
No, and I think just the Holy Spirit just spoke through me, and I just started sharing about where life was at for me, and, you know, sharing that I should be really full, but I wasn't, and I was empty. I was empty inside, and that I wanted to make a step, you know, pursuing Jesus. Yeah, something gave that night, and I put my hand up to say, "Lord, I want to know you, and I'll do what it takes to get close to you."
Wow, and how old were you at this point?
Well, I think I was about 27.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at
so,
that point.
So, newly married, and now a new life in the Lord.
Mm.
And then, how did your wife react to all this?
Yeah, she was really good about it. So probably after I'd sort of committed myself to Jesus, she had been open-minded, but also closed off, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really want to know much about it all, but she was happy for me to pursue this way of life. And praise to the Lord, it was only about 6 months ago where she said, "I want to pursue this too."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she put her faith in the Lord as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, and it was not through me, you know.
Is that right?
Nagging her or anything like that. It was, she saw something in people that had Jesus in their life. And so it was through the actions of people where she started wanting to know more.
Wow,
more
that's
answers.
Fantastic.
Mm. And so one night, I was praying after work at a Bible study, and someone had given me a bit of a prophetic word about Alina, my wife, that she was going to bring one of her best friend to Jesus. And at the time I thought, well, that's crazy, because
she's not even a Christian herself at that point. Is
yeah,
that right?
That's right. Yeah. And sort of in the week leading up to that moment, I'd been getting convictions in my spirit to share with her, not hold back, and go home and share with her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home that night after the Bible study, and I sat her down and held her hand and said, "Do you want to know more about Jesus?" And I didn't know what to expect, and she said yes.
Wow. So the Lord was working on her separate from you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. It was a precious moment, Eric, and I guess it's her journey, and I'm not trying to put things on her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just watching the Lord work in her journey, which is precious, and yeah, he's doing things for her too.
That's fantastic. And speaking of your journey, your journey takes you all the way to now working with your father. How did he react when you started to come back to the Lord and spiritual things and rededicate your life?
Just with pure joy and thankfulness to the Lord for answering the prayers that they prayed.
But wait, there's more. You decide, hey, Dad, I want to work with you. Is that right?
Yeah. One day, my dad, Brad, and I were just having a chat at the fire station. I think I had a day off.
Who's Brad?
Brad's another great guy that's part of the Lush Care community. Mm-hmm. And I was on a day off work, came down just to hang out with the guys. And I said, oh, I wonder if I should get involved one day. I'd sort of been a bit uncertain about my future. Mm-hmm. And Brad sort of looks over with excitement and goes, oh, yeah, there's a spot for you. And Dad and I are looking at each other going, whoa, this is a bit out there. But I think deep down we both thought it was just a good fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a slow progression. It didn't happen straight away. Mm-hmm. Dad and I sat down and had some coffees together. And just chatted over a few visits. And, we had some precious moments then actually, where we cried together. And, Dad just shared what he thought was the best for my life. Mm-hmm. And I shared, we shared about the past as well. And, mm-hmm. and there was some real healing there actually from the past, in those catch ups.
Yeah. Well, he just must be thinking his cup's full to overflowing. I mean, he's happy that you've come back to the Lord, but now doing ministry together, helping others. Tell us what you're doing now as far as helping people.
Yeah, so when I first started working with Lush Care, I just jumped in a gardening team.
Because mm-hmm. that's what you do to help people recover, to get them busy doing something, gardening and landscaping?
Yeah, so we send guys out doing building maintenance jobs. Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. And when I first started, I think we only had probably 3 or 4 guys. And now we have anywhere between 8 to 12, 13 guys.
Wow.
At
so
any
it's
one
really
time.
Growing.
Yeah. And, so my first day, I remember working with Dad and Danny Sharp, actually, mm-hmm. ironically. Yep. And we went out and we did some gardening.
Danny Sharp, of course, a recent guest. Who has a story all his own.
Yeah, yeah. And I just loved hearing about his story as well.
Yeah.
And it was just so different working with these guys because they love drinking coffee. So it wasn't go, go, go. And we chatted about real things in life when we were working together,
yeah. You
know, which was so different.
They say that's when guys do their best talking, usually when they're doing something, accomplishing something.
Yeah, yeah. And when you accomplish something that has real worth,
yeah,
you leave the day feeling really full.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably one of the best things about this ministry is that when we work together, we get some real healing through talking to each other and praying for each other through the day.
And you've seen, like your own story, you've seen others completely go from bad situations, alcoholism, seemingly hopeless, and you've seen them turn their lives around as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll share an example story. Mm-hmm. So Alina, my wife, and I, one of our best friends, Amy, she was going through a hard time 2 years ago, and she'd actually been missing for a week or two, and she'd hit a real low point in her life. And we'd recently just started working with a guy named Brett who had just come to us, and he'd come out of a drug problem. And he was such a great guy and was really looking for a new way of life and was just thriving after that and accepted the Lord into his life. And one night, we were just having a praise night and stories night for people that wanted to come and hear some of the guy's amazing stories. And they both met up there and just started hanging out more and connected and really liked each other. Mm-hmm. And 2 years down the track, they're getting married in a couple of weeks. So they're happily together, and it's just an amazing story.
So they're both Christians now?
Yeah.
Both gave their lives to the Lord.
Mm, yeah, and they just have such hope and purpose in their life now together.
So just one of the stories, one of the many stories that you come across in the Elijah Care Ministry.
Yeah, there's plenty of amazing stories.
Any final comments to wrap up our conversation?
It's been
quite a journey.
Yeah, I guess just throughout so much confusion in life growing up, I've found so much truth to life now, Eric, that
very healing.
Lord, so much healing, that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen, and you want to point people to Him.
Yeah, and we try and point people to Him just through love.
Amen. Well, it sounds like some fantastic things are happening there at Elijah Care. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks, Eric. It's been great.
Our guest today has been Daniel Marsh. He's the son of Jeff Marsh, who is a recent guest, and he's the founder of Elijah Care. Both of them work at Elijah Care, which is a community in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne that focuses on restoring hope, value, and purpose in broken people's lives. For more information, their website is ElijahCare.org. That's ElijahCare.org.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.